It was another volatile day on Wall Street as stocks closed sharply lower, adding to the already steep losses for the month. The S&P 500 lost 40, the NASDAQ shed 157, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down nearly 328 points, settling to 25,379. I'm Andy Gersher. This is After the Bell, and joining us to talk about today's action on Wall Street, Susan Schmidt, Portfolio Manager at Aviva Investors here in Chicago. Well, Susan, as mentioned, another day of volatility. Give us your takeaway.
Another day where investors are really paying attention to earnings, trying to figure out what the future may hold. We've had mixed earnings reports thus far, and it's really causing some concern. Investors are focused on how industrials and banks are faring. We've already seen the tech sector have weakness and has really led the way down. We got the Fed minutes this week talking about their view on the economy, and they're implying their intent is to continue to increase interest rates, albeit gradually over the coming months. And I think that, on top of the noise about U.S. and China and no resolution on the trade issues, so continued trade concerns, has all evolved into a nervous market. The S&P was down 1.4%, Dow Jones 1.3% today, but the NASDAQ, the tech stocks, down 2%. So that's where you're really seeing more of the pressure. I think we're moving towards a risk-off market. That means people trying to get more defensive. The sectors today that did well were utilities and real estate. That's generally a sign that people who want to sit on the sidelines or are heading to safety, trying to figure out how they're going to position, waiting to see how things develop before they decide how they're going to take action to position for the market going forward.
You know, you just mentioned earnings season. We're just getting into earnings season. It's been a mixed bag earnings picture. What do you see going forward, as other companies start reporting?
It has been a mixed bag reporting so far. We've had most of the big banks report. We're just starting to see the smaller regional banks report. And so those are good indicators of the underlying economy, the local economies, and how they're doing. We are seeing reasonable strength there, but one of the causes for concern is that industrials have had spotty earnings. Some have been strong, some have been weak, some have been very cautious or careful on their guidance. All of that is feeding into this investor concern. The concern around banks is stemming from the larger banks, which weren't able to talk a lot about loan growth, and were also concerned about net interest margin. Can they loan out money at a reasonable rate and still get a return on it, depending on what they have to pay their depositors? So it's become a mixed bag for this earnings season. The height of earnings, the peak week, is going to be next week when we see most of the companies reporting, and that's then going to be a bulk mass, which really is going to influence the market.
A lot of talk about the Fed policy in play right now. Higher interest rates being a factor may actually benefit the banks. You know, regionals come to mind there. You know, how is this Fed policy playing into things? A lot of folks citing the recent sell-off due to increasing interest rates. So how does the central bank fit into the mix here?
Well, the central bank is doing what it sees best, trying to help the economy grow and prosper without overheating. And the Fed is trying to pace its interest rate increases, keeping the interest rate at something that it believes to be supportive of the economy, not suppressive of the economy. And so right now, the Fed is coming out. We just had the minutes released this week, and the statements from the Fed are very supportive that the underlying economy still feels strong. But we are starting to see a tiniest bit of increase in costs, and that's what managements are talking about right now. The Fed feels comfortable enough that they can increase rates on a gradual basis going forward. The market is starting to get nervous that those increased rates mean increased costs. We are seeing increased costs for labor. The tariff issue is causing increased costs for raw materials. And that, combined with increasing interest rates, which means your debt is more expensive, is making the market a little bit nervous about the overall situation because the market's concerned that profits are going to get squeezed.
The Fed says the underlying economy is strong right now. Isn't this move to get, we often say this, get some of the tools back in the toolbox so that we are ready when we do see that next downturn? Isn't this just a good, solid Fed policy at this point?
Well, it is very practical management by the Fed, and that's exactly right. The main tool the Fed has to use to help the economy is the interest rate. And so when it increases the interest rate, it's doing that because it's trying to prevent the economy from overheating. It doesn't want to get excessive inflation. That interest rate is used to mute the extremes. So there's never a super high top and overheating. There's also never a super low bottom where we ground out to zero growth. The idea is that the Fed can lower interest rates when the economy needs help and give it an extra boost by reducing the cost of capital. Of course, if your interest rates are at zero, which is where we were a few years ago, the Fed can't go below zero. So in this case, the Fed is exercising practical policy. The economy looks strong. They're doing what they should do. They need to have that interest rate creeping up here. So again, it becomes a tool for them to use should we see signs of a slowdown or the economy need a boost later on.
And that speaks to several rebalances that are underway right now. We speak about trade all the time. We're seeing a rebalance in trade and how that dynamic is resetting itself. Also with the Fed, zero interest rates. You're, of course, going to have some market chaos surrounding a rebalance to normalcy in interest rates. So isn't this something that you can pretty much expect to see at this point?
I think the combination of factors here is what is causing a lot of volatility, and I think it's going to continue to cause volatility. So that's what you can expect to see. We got news several years ago that the Fed intended to increase interest rates, and they've done a very good job at communicating that and keeping it going. 99% probability the market expects the Fed to raise the interest rate one more step this year in 2018, and then possibly three times in 2019. I think the market is really wondering what happened at the end of 2019, the back half. How far does the Fed go? And with that concern, the market is just trying to figure out the unknown. It's also wondering what happens with trade policy and tariffs, and how does this affect our other raw material and labor input costs? So with all of that, that's what you're getting some uncertainty, and that's what really is bringing, I believe, the volatility up in this market. That's probably going to continue. We've had a very low volatility environment for a long time. I think that's over for the near term.
Another factor not too far away here, midterm election closing in. Is this also weighing in on the market weakness due to the uncertainty for the midterms?
Well, the markets never like to be surprised. And so they like to have steady communication, a lot of signaling in advance as to what's going to happen. Obviously, with elections, that's really hard to do. You definitely enter into an element of unpredictability. And I think that is yet another headline here. Remember that in the short term, markets are emotional. They will move based on emotion, fear, and knee-jerk reactions. Over time, they settle out to reasonable pricing, trying to recognize the underlying value of the businesses that are represented there in those publicly traded shares. But that near term, those headlines definitely cause a reaction. And we've got a lot of emotion wrapped up in this, whether it's the elections, whether it's international relations, whether it's interest rates. And that is all driving that volatility right now.
Briefly talk about the shift of value and growth here and the tug of war that's playing right now in the market.
That is definitely having a battle, and it has been battling. Growth has been winning for many of the last years, where growth stocks have done better than value stocks. Growth stocks, typically considered a lot of our tech stocks, have done very well. We've seen them really get appreciation from the market and from investors on the potential for future business, not so much near-term earnings. Value stocks are generally a little more conservative. They're ones that the businesses might be old and stodgy, very often cyclical in nature, but they produce cash flow, and they're very steady eddies, riding through their cyclicality, but something we'll always need. So we're seeing that divergence, and what do you want to choose? Growth overall and growth style has been outperforming the value style. We've seen a few instances this year where that nervousness has crept in and people have retreated back into the safe havens and value stocks. It's not clear how that's going to balance out yet. I think growth has still maybe got the lead thus far this year when you look at the numbers, but value is starting to pop its head up.
That's Susan Schmidt, portfolio manager at Aviva Investors here in Chicago. And I'm Andy Gersher for News Radio on 105.9 FM.